Time parameters.
9 minutes.
Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to the DS9 Minute, the green shirt minisode where we discuss an episode of DS9 in less time than it takes a possessed Julian Bashir to speak a line of dialogue. Watching DS9 for the first time along with me is Rob Campbell.
First timers club.
That's right.
Love and virgin.
A couple of folk who have their initials carved into Quark's bar, Jaunty Bolds.
Ray-o-ventica.
And Miss Bobby Blue.
Glad to see Quark, like, hint back into his darker side this time.
Right? I hope that's someone's note. We also have an interloper this week observing our antics. We have someone else making his way through DS9 for the first time, Monsieur Jesse Bailey.
Lope, lope, lope. Here I go interloping again.
We have set aside for him 13 seconds of our nine minutes.
Oh boy, use them wisely.
I'll just laugh in the background. Yeah.
Well, I do want to ask you a little bit about your first time through DS9, but we'll save that for the end. You know, people can come for the 9 minutes and then stay for the sweet stuff.
Sounds like every sexual experience that I've had.
Exactly. All right. This week we watched The Passenger. John, throw up that timer.
Here we go. 9 minutes on the screen.
I thought it would be really funny if the lady stabbed the dead body after he was on the slab, and then I'm like, oh, shit, she did. That was great.
I love that Julian opens the episode talking about how bad tricorders are on dead people and then says, nope, I can't save this guy because the tricorder says he's dead.
Well, yeah, I enjoyed the Odo security dude bromance the most of this episode. That was the subplot I was invested in. It was really nice seeing one of the main characters, unlike on TNG, be flawed and have some growth.
Okay. I like that you led with that because I still am like unsure. Like Odo either knows everything or like knows nothing. He doesn't know that Lieutenant Primin is coming. Like to do a thing like that seems like a really weird thing that he's like, and also he's just like, oh, I'm security with Starfleet, and he's like, all right, come on in.
Yeah, I like how he's just like, I'm resigning. It's very very juvenile,
out of the blue. Yeah, I will also mention on the Primim Odo front that, man, there's so much attitude in this episode between the Primin versus Odo, the Primin versus Sisko. Kira is like, oh, you know that for certain with Kajata, and Kajata and Sisko have beef. Like, there's just so much. This is a beefy episode.
Beefy.
Yeah. Murderer. The description doesn't begin to do justice to the horrors he committed on my world. Sounds like this guy was a regular Burning Man. That's all I'm saying.
Oh,
nice.
This is dumb, but was that a DS9 DVD cover Julian was holding at the beginning? That's what it looked like to me.
Oh, interesting. I still am just really excited that Sisko isn't afraid to like get really terse, even like rude when he makes his point at times. Like, especially with his subordinates. Like, he says, quote, I like to know where a man stands. And then he like reciprocates it nicely. Like he's like, talk shit to me, I'll talk shit to you. And it works in a way, like especially between him and Odo in this episode, I think.
I've got one more note about Odo. When Quark says to him that he likes smooth, pliant flesh, I'm like, is Quark hitting on Odo? Are they going to end up together?
To add on to it, I'm always happy that Quark will never hesitate to call Odo out on his BS attitudes about stuff and just be like, just because you don't like it, like, dude, have you actually tried this or are you just being a grump? So good for Quark.
Yeah, good for Quark, who I know he's been very problematic about women in the past, but this might be the darkest we've seen Quark. Like, just this seems like some shit he's involved in, like killing. Genocide, basically.
Hiring mercenaries,
To steal stuff that's going to save lives.
Yeah. Is Jesse ever going to say anything? I feel bad. Like, when
he's only chiming in.
Saving that 13 seconds.
Because okay, sorry.
It's been a while since I saw this episode, but is Is Julian weirdly over horny at any point in this episode, like he is in the rest of season one?
Quark is the one who's horny in this episode. Gotcha. For Dax.
That's how they should have known that it wasn't him.
Yeah. Although I feel like when it's this is not what a point that I made, but thanks Jesse. I feel like at the end when he's like not Bashir, he's like that's what his horny voice sounds like. Okay, that was not my point. My point is like what the fuck, Bailiwick?
Yeah.
Wow.
Bird. Yeah. Wow. I had to look up a new word, and as an English teacher, I was like, okay, bailiwick, one sphere of operations or a particular area of interest, which also like refers to being a bailiff. I had no idea. Mm. Like, that was an interesting word drop.
Yeah.
That's good. I guessed it was Bashir. Anybody else guess immediately it was Bashir?
I didn't. That twist really worked for me. I was going to ask you guys.
Just because it's the whisper in his ear. Yeah.
No, it was one of those things in retrospect, it totally made sense, which is why it worked for me. I was like, oh, of course.
Yeah. But, Vantika erased a bunch of active memory on Rigel 7. What is this? Strange New World Season 2, Episode 4, Among the Lotus Eaters?
Check out Open Pike Night.
I don't know if that's right.
Yeah, Shameless. Rigel 7 getting a lot of name drops recently. Rigel was named in TNG or this recently, too. I can't believe I'm saying this, guys. We keep getting teased about these holosuites. When are we going to get a holodeck episode? They keep mentioning the holosuites. We haven't seen them yet.
It's because viewers like you got really turned off by them in TNG. But what about Kajeda? Does she start the episode with kind of like a Ukrainian accent and then like lose it? That's why when I was rewatching
this. She absolutely loses her accent after the
opening. Even though I've seen this before twice, I was like, it's her. And I was like, wait, you don't remember this episode. It's not her. But I remember thinking like maybe because she lost the accent, it was like, maybe was that part of it? I don't know.
I was dozing a little bit. What's Deridium? Was it?
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Wait, nobody cares. That was one of the notes I made. It's
is
both.
It deadly or helpful?
Both.
Okay, because I just thought it was funny. We're about to record a DS9 episode where terrorists are stealing the lithium resin. And this episode at the same time is a terrorist stealing Deridium.
Yeah. TNG. Yeah, that's true.
Something. They correlate, actually.
Yeah. Odo's all insecure and gets huffy when a new security presence comes on board DS9. Gee, let's hope this doesn't repeatedly happen anytime somebody comes onto DS9 like this.
Oh, it doesn't. Boy. It doesn't. It totally does.
This criminal, he's Voldemort, right? Like, when he was whispering to Quark, like, that was the Voldemort voice. And then later we find out he was controlling someone's body.
Mm-hmm. Turns out Bashir can talk to snakes now too.
Yeah,
that's funny. Like when I heard that hoarse kind of whisper voice, my brain went straight to Clue when it was like Yvette or whoever's the she's like, oh, it's you. Like anyway, but that's not what I'm doing. I'm just commenting. What about the pretty shitty graphic for the humanoid brain?
Yeah.
What the fuck?
Yeah.
That's it.
Speaking of human brain, that's the new science in this episode is the map of human brains fit onto a thumb drive and also transporting a brain waves into a petri dish.
Yeah.
These are pretty advanced brain science thingies.
Synaptic pattern replacement, never been done by anybody who's non-Vulcan. What is this? Star Trek Strange New World, Season 1, Episode 5, Spock a Mug?
Oh my God, John!
I have seen that one.
Staying on brand. Guys, I was not a fan of possessed Julian Bashir. He was not good. He talked way too slow, and that was his only thing. He does not play getting mind controlled by a criminal alien as well as Marina Sirtis plays getting mind controlled by an
this
alien.
This is true. Yeah,
few people do.
He sounds Bashir, but just more like developmentally disabled. Exactly. And I don't mean that rudely. He should have like picked up a different accent. Maybe that would have helped.
Yeah, something. Oh, it was not good.
What about, did you all pick up on when Kajeda leaves Odo's office after asking about restricted security codes? And the actress walks out, the door is closed. She does a full counterclockwise turn. And then she like is like lost in her blocking her. She's like waiting for the cut, but like looks back like I'm looking at you and then takes a right. I was like, that's weird. That's got to be a mistake, right?
I'm ready to start the conversation about whether it's okay to shoot the hockey puck brain and execute it right there on the spot without putting the hockey puck brain on trial or whatever.
I'm ready to talk about how little the crew of Starfleet who's in the room during a public execution with no trial, how little they care. In fact, Bashir and Dax are kind of chuckling about it at the end.
Totally. Of course, Sisko had just shot the hostage the scene prior. So
they are on the frontier, John. It's lawless out here. It's dangerous. Leave them alone.
Oh, I love it. To me, it's like this. That right there defines DS9. Like, yes, sometimes you just need to have a public execution and it's the right thing to do.
Yeah. Picard would have like lost a lot of sleep over that. But what? Okay, here's what I would say, and I'll try to do it really fast. The glial cells, all of that stuff they talk about glial cells is totally incorrect. They only they are just like support neurons. So like the glial that like so and so is like living in the glial cells makes no sense at all. They do not. they don't do any of that like transmitting of
25 seconds.
That's it.
I would like to cede 10 of my seconds to Jesse. Jesse, speak as much as you can.
Bobby, is it worse than the preganglionic nerve or whatever that he claims to have mistaken in his final exam? Because that was totally made up, right? Like,
well, that's
it's a real thing, but there's no way he could have mistaken those two things for each other. If I'm not mistaken, right. I've read some stuff on the internet, so it's probably real.
Wormhole closing!
Wait, can I know that is it okay to like break a rule once in a season? Because I have something that's really cool. Okay. I just didn't get
let's
to
hear it. He'll cut it.
Is going to be so long. It in.
Okay.
Cameron will cut it in. He'll replace everything I said.
Okay. So maybe they can send the containment field with Vontika's glial signals to the little ship in a bottle, and he could be a great nemesis for Moriarty.
Nice.
Totally expect to see those two show up together.
He's
sometime.
Dead.
I'm sorry, but even Moriarty would just shoot him in the head during the middle of his first villain soliloquy. Like, wow, I cannot sit through this. And he would just,
But did you have a similar reaction? Like, is this a different ship in a bottle?
Kind of, yeah.
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah. It's a villain in a little device, in a hard drive.
This is.
But this villain actually committed atrocities. Yes. So
this is not the last time that previously living remains will be contained within a hockey puck in Deep Space Nine.
That's true. Yeah, that's true.
Well, yes, spoilers. Jesse, so you've blazed through the first four seasons and are in season five now?
Accurate, yes. That is how I would describe it as well. So the first season, a lot of people, including our good friend John, will say, like, DS9 is my favorite. It's the best of the series. And when you're... So me personally, when I was in season one, I was like, really? This is the best of the series? Like,
because
there's a lot of really good episodes in season one, right? But there's also some episodes in season one that just stop. Like, the story is actually not over yet.
You ran out of time.
But you stopped because you ran out of time. Yeah, and I'm not really satisfied with that. But there are some really good episodes in season one. And yeah, in season five, I can see why people are like, this is the best of the series, because it really does take all the TNG sensibilities and just kind of move them forward like 15 or 20 years, right? Like, DS9 feels like a show that could be on TV right now because of how they handle their serialization.
Totally.
And I'm really, really enjoying it. I would like to finish it before I decide if it's become my new favorite. TNG will always be my home Trek. It was my first Trek series. But I like one of the things I love about DS9 is that it pays so much respect to TNG and uses some of the pieces from TNG in a really, really dynamic and enjoyable way. So, and I'm just going to say right now, Keiko O'Brien, best wife ever.
Yeah, and it makes TNG like better.
Yes, it does.
Aww. I was missing her this episode.
Yeah.
And Jake and Nog.
Yeah. Very few
it's implied that O'Brien's still on Earth at Keiko's family's funeral.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and Jake and Nog are in the Holosuite camp.
Like,
so.
O'Brien's drinking, like, whiskey on Earth, being like, fuck this funeral family shit or whatever. And who knows where Jake is? Star Trek just likes to disappear children.
Yeah.
Jake doesn't get disappeared like Alexander. Jake becomes a character. So, I mean, but still, like, where is Jake? Anyway.
Where is Jake?
Where is Jake?
Maybe he'll be here next week. Or in 2 weeks when we cover the next episode.
Move along home.
Oh, all right. And then next week, we will have an episode of Green Shirt. I believe Lessons.
Ooh.
All right. Well, until then, we will see you
soon.
Hey, good. Bye.
Bye.